to Revelation chapter 21. We're dealing with end time events, and listen, I'm glad that today no one sent me an email stating, "Pastor, I think Trump is the Antichrist because he's signing a peace treaty in Israel." Listen, Trump can't be the Antichrist for several reasons, the first of which is he loves women. And the Antichrist is not going to be a lover of women. So, number one, he's not it. Number two, the peace treaty is going to be signed after the rapture. So if you've identified the Antichrist, you have been left behind. Since you have heard a gospel message, that means you will never be saved. So stop trying to figure out who the Antichrist is and start focusing on what God wants you to focus on. It's a tendency. Acts chapter 1, the disciples were gazing up into heaven. And they asked Jesus the question, "Is this the time? Is this the time?" And Jesus Christ said unto them, "It is not for you to know, but you're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth." And we still do that today, and we're supposed to do that. Last week in Revelation 21, we talked about the new heaven and the new earth. And just to stress that again, this again, the goal of receiving redemption, knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, is not heaven. We don't go door to door selling timeshares in heaven. People have a sin problem and they need Christ. And the goal of eternity is to be with Jesus. He said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me." He said to the disciples in John chapter 14, that "where I am, there ye may be also." It's to be with Jesus. We do know a little bit about the new heaven and the new earth, but the majority of what we know about eternity is the Savior, and He should be the focus. We know that we have an inheritance incorruptible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I'll start there. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." In the last time. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us this evening as we look at another part of Revelation 21. May we be excited, encouraged, and may when we see things happening in our world today, may we not be shaken. We go back to 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, and they were fearful that they had missed it, and God, through the Apostle Paul, clearly told them, "You haven't missed it. Trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air." May we have that confidence. May the signs, as the world calls them, of the times be an opportunity for us to warn people to flee the wrath to come. Because we know from our studies in the book of Revelation that the horrors that are going to be, the judgments that are going to be poured out upon this earth, it's not something anybody wants to be left behind for. So, Father, I pray that we would warn them to flee the wrath to come. Speak to our hearts this evening. We'll thank you for your word and the authority that we have in it and the confidence that we have in you as we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Starting at verse 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Revelation is also a book of contrasts. And so we see in verse 7, we see hope for that person who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the very next verse, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers..." and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues. And so that verse references where we have been. We know that there are the seal judgment. The seventh seal opens the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet opens the seven vials, which brings us right down to the very end of the tribulation period. And so we see that seven, seven, and seven. And talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Contrast to what Jerusalem has been referred to, mentioned just briefly last week, that Jerusalem has been referred to as Babylon, the city of harlots, and not anything that is complementary. But in verse 10, that changes. Now we have the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What did it look like? Well, verse 12, had a wall, great and high, had 12 stones, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Do you think Israel is still important to the Lord? On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. Some people have said, I don't want to go to heaven, I wouldn't want to be in prison there. I just roll my eyes. For starters, it has gates. Gates tell you that the gates open up, and we'll see in just a moment that the gates will never be shut. Gates allow entry, they allow exit. What's going to happen to the whole city? It's going to come down from God, out of heaven. That's where it's going to be, on the new earth. That would be the foundation. And the wall and the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And it's not in my notes. How many apostles? Oh, come on, it's an open book test. How many apostles? 12. 12. Not 152. And you go around, you go up and down Alexandria, and you say, Apostle so-and-so, and see the signs, Apostle so-and-so, and Apostle so-and-so. How many are there? 12. 12. So they're claiming a title. It doesn't belong to them. There are 12, and that's all there are. There'll never be a 14, 15, 22. There are no self-appointed apostles. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. It's kind of interesting. Some people say, I think that the city come down from heaven is going to be like a pyramid. At the base, 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500, but then the walls are going to come in. It's going to be like a pyramid. And it just says four square. Four square. And the walls are, I don't know. I don't have a problem with saying it's a cube. And I think Hollywood has latched onto that. There's one of the Star Treks, they have some outer space being, and they come in a cube. Where did they get an idea for a cube from? Revelation chapter 21. And here we go. 12 foundations. A reed to measure the city. The city lies four squares. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Just that right? Just a little bit under 1,500 miles. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And say, what do the pyramid people say with that? Well, they would say at the very peak it would be 1,500 miles. And they have the walls curving. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. I would say that it is a cube based on what I'm reading here. And if you will, it's just tough to wrap your brain around this. How big is this place? So let's say every How many of you have high ceilings in your house? High ceiling. How high is your highest ceiling? 12 feet? 12 feet. Let's say every ceiling is 100 feet in this. That would be impressive. Wouldn't you say? 12 feet is pretty good, but 100 feet would be like, whoa. So if every floor was 100 feet high, you'd have 1,500 floors. Can you imagine getting in the elevator and punch floor 1,500? Man, whew, you're going to be in the elevator for a while. I'm just saying, it's just hard for us to wrap our brain around how big this is. Because people say, it's not going to be big enough to hold all the people. Yeah, I think it'd be plenty big enough. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth in emerald. Just impressive. Impressive. The holy city, characterized as the bride, the Lamb's wife. Again, a contrast to the whore of the book of Revelation. Now, we try to do a literal interpretation where a literal interpretation is possible. A city cannot be a bride. So that is representative. This city, the holy city, this residence of the folks that have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, compared to a chaste bride, and we should strive to be holy, as opposed to the list in verse 8, fearful, unbelieving, abominable, sorcerers, hallmongers, and all liars. We should not aspire to have those characteristics. When is this? It's following the great white throne judgment. And we're in chronological order, so we're following through here. When is this? This is, we are in the church age out here. We have the rapture here in 7 years of tribulation, halfway in the middle of tribulation. The peace treaty is broken. The last part of Revelation and Matthew chapter 24, and God tells the Jewish man to run for your life, flee to the mountains. At the last vial judgment coming into the second coming of Jesus Christ leads us into the millennial reign of Christ. And so this is following out there, following that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. This is after Satan is loosed for a little season, Revelation chapter 20. We read that just a couple of weeks ago. Following that, those events, following the great white throne judgment, this new Jerusalem descending. I'll just say again, gates are for entry and exit. You will not be prisoners, but they are not simply decorative. Gates serve a purpose. Where would people be going? I don't know. Exploring the new earth? I'd want to explore. I'd want to go on a bike ride. See what's out there, as opposed to walking the place. What's it going to be like? I don't know. The glory of God. Can you even imagine for a moment what the glory of God would look like? A brilliant light. The source of the light is not the sun, but it is the S-O-N, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Lamb is the light thereof. Look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. What a powerful light. Don't walk in darkness. Walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. What a glorious, glorious sight. The sun this time of year, is pretty spectacular. The sun is going down and it shines in places that it never shines the rest of the year. Just the angle of the sun going down. And you don't appreciate this because you're typically not here in the evening hours when there is a point when the sun goes down that it hits at the far end of the parking lot an oak tree. And that oak tree turns red and the sun hits it. And every year for 30 years, we have photographers that come into our parking lot to take a picture of that tree over there as the sun hits it and magnifies it. And I just say, you ain't seen nothing yet as to what it will be, the glorious sight, when the light of the Lamb and shines on the precious stones of jasper, clear as crystals, the reds, the yellows, the browns, and the greens. Lots of things happening in our world today. If you've been following the news, you know that in Minneapolis, Minnesota, they just adjusted their noise ordinance. So now in Minneapolis, Minnesota, five times a day, you can hear the Muslim call to prayer. They can broadcast it as early as 3:30 in the morning. How many of you are sleeping at 3:30 in the morning? How many of you desire to hear the Muslim call to prayer at 3:30 in the morning? All hands are down. And as late as 11 o'clock at night. Frank, would that be a problem with you? It would be a problem with Mr. Frank. He is a couple hours into snooze button by then. How about that? What's that doing? Where's that happening? That's out in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Last I checked, that was still part of the United States of America. We talked about Dearborn, Michigan. They've been doing that for years, but Minneapolis just passed that. What should that cause us to do? To say to people, flee the wrath to come. Pastor, do you find that unsettling? I find it disturbing. Absolutely disturbing. Has it shaken your faith? Not at all, one bit, not whatsoever. Because I have confidence. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation through Jesus Christ. And this text gives us hope. How big is the wall? Great and high. Verse 17. Great and high. What does that say? I don't know. Inaccessible from the outside? So you think about walls today. Right? We were building a border wall somewhere down in Texas. And you look at that thing and you think, at least I think, I could get a ladder and climb over. I'm just thinking that I could. I could probably get a rope with a grappling hook and grab that thing. And even at my advanced stage of decomposition, I think I could still scale the wall and get over the other side. But not this one. It says to me as I read this that there's nobody getting in from the outside. You come through the door, Jesus Christ, or you don't go in. There is no other way. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Turn over a page, Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Well, what if a bad guy tries to get in? There's angels at each gate? I don't know. I think they whack you. Not that that's even possible. Some would say that they are a ceremonial. You ever see a ceremonial guard? Now they have a gun, and I think the gun might not be ceremonial. They might be there serving a purpose. Angels are there at the gates. Just says nothing coming in. What is without? Verse 15. There's a within and there's a without. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That seems to go in conjunction with Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. The fearful and unbelieving and abominable and idolaters and whoremongers and all liars should have their part. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'm going to sneak in. I've had people say that to me. You are not going to sneak in. There's no sneaking that is going to take place. Beautiful gates. 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 foundations, 12 apostles. Do you think the number 12 is important? I think the number 12 is important. 12 pearls, 12 kinds of fruit, verse 22. 12 is an important number. How big? Height and length and width. 12,000 furlongs, 1,342 miles. Let's say 1,500, just for sake of a square number. How big is that? Start at Washington, D.C. Let's just put the point here because this is where we are. 1,500 miles is just into Colorado. From as far south, let's say Jacksonville, Florida,
to Thunder Bay, Canada. Where in the world is Thunder Bay, Canada? How many of you know where Thunder Bay, Canada is? Yeah, okay, all right. So Michigan, I'm a Michigan person. Sorry, Mike. Michigan is shaped like a mitten. For those of you who don't know, why do people from Michigan always raise their right hand? Hello. The Upper Peninsula of Michigan is shaped like this. So you got the Lower Peninsula, the Upper Peninsula, and Thunder Bay is right up here. From Jacksonville, Florida, all the way north to Thunder Bay, Wisconsin, Canada. What is that? That's an impressive amount of real estate. I don't think you're going to walk it or bike it today. I was talking to a homeowner recently. And they said to me, there is no such thing as a square corner in my house. And I looked at him and I said, and the builders, the experts that built your house, if people want to make you think that you can't do work, they built a house that does not have a single square corner, not a single one. But God's measuring this one. Everything will be exact and they will be square. This house built by God himself. Nothing is crooked. Nothing's going to be out of square. Built by the master carpenter, Jesus Christ. What is it? One eternal residence for all. The significance? No purgatory. Listen, and no alternative. There is no alternative. But the world is at war with God. So you think that that everybody would be rejoicing in the fact that the hostages had been released from Israel, but not the governor of California, Governor Newsom. He referred to Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu as dumb and dumber for what they think they've achieved. Just every once in a while you see that and people say, what do you think about that? I think Mr. Newsom is at war with God, a hater of the nation of Israel. And he's in a bad place. What does he need? He needs salvation. Where is that salvation found? It's found in Jesus Christ. Found in Jesus Christ. Verse 15 talks about the reed. A reed is roughly 10 feet long. Again, the saints are not in prison. The gates are open. 12,000 furlongs. Furlong 582 feet. Again, the measured distance, 1,342 miles. Ken was trying to figure out where that was. And so he and I talked about the cities, the distance from here to there. And I've been familiar with that all my life. And Dad has talked to me about 1,500 miles and how big that is and how high that is. But again, trying to wrap my brain around that and understand the magnitude of it, which is why today as I thought on this particular text, I thought, well, if it had each floor was 100 feet, and it would have 1,500 of those. And that's a lot of space. Imagine 1,500 blocks of that type of real estate. That's bigger than the world itself, than all the land that the world has to offer. It's just impressive. Where is it right now? I don't know. It's going to come down from God out of heaven. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Every once in a while, someone will say to me, Pastor, let me show you my house. I'm not the house person. I'll be glad to walk around. You can show me all your stuff. And I'll go, this is very nice. Thank you for showing me. It's a beautiful place to live. Mrs. Bishop is the house person. You say to Mrs. Bishop, hey, come and let me show you the house. She'll open up closets. She'll open up cupboards. I mean, that girl's going through everything. She loves to snoop. and she loves to talk about it. And she knows what the terms are, you know, the real estate terms. Mid-century modern. I was telling her yesterday. Mid-century modern means absolutely nothing to me. And she's talking about Craftsman and mid-century modern. And what am I doing? Going, oh yeah, right. Not a clue as to what she's talking about. But you're not impressed? You know, this is what I say to rich people. I was walking through a house a couple of years ago. Guy was showing me his place. It was probably 15,000 square feet. I mean, it was a good sized shack. And he said to me, "What do you think?" And this is what I said: "Doesn't really matter how big a house is. Everybody hangs out in one room." That's what I said to him. He said, he looked at me and he went, "You're right. You notice that?" Everybody comes over for Thanksgiving. Everybody's not scattered around the 1,500 square foot. Where are they hanging out? They're hanging out in the kitchen. Why? Because that's where the turkey is. That's where the food is. Everybody hangs out in the same room. Let me remind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it is written, drawing off the Old Testament, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Do you love God? Do you love His commandments? Do you do His will? Do you follow His way? Do you walk in the light as He is in the light? This world doesn't have any real estate that could compare to what God has to offer you. And let me say, somebody says to me, "Pastor, do you want a 15,000 square foot house?" Mrs. Bishop doesn't. I'll just tell you, she doesn't. Why not? Too many bathrooms to clean. Too many bathrooms. And she'll walk away from a house, she'll be impressed, and she'll say, "That is a beautiful house. I wouldn't want it because I wouldn't want to clean the bathrooms." That's what she'll say. Go ask her after the service, she'll tell you that. "Pastor, if somebody gave you a 15,000 square foot house, what would you do with it?" "I'd sell it." "Why?" "Because Fairfax County wants to tax it." Taxes on that bad boy has got to be $30,000 a year. That's more than my discretionary income. I'd have to sell it. But no taxes on this house. "I have not seen, neither heard, what God hath prepared for them that love Him." Do you love God? Do you see the day approaching? I see the day approaching. Today, the National Education, the NEA Association, was called out. They sent out to their members some material. And on the material was a map. And the map had removed Israel. Do you think they're at war with God? I think they're at war with God. You don't have to look very far in the school systems around our area to see that they are at war with God, with morality, with what is right. Trying to put boys in the girls' bathroom, girls in the boys' bathroom. They are at war with God, punishing those that would speak out against it. Then all over the news. I see the day approaching. In that material, not only did they remove Israel from the map, but they denied that Hitler was an enemy of the Jewish people and said that Hitler was really a friend of the Jewish people and he saved a lot of them. That's the National Education Association. It's a disgrace. Disgrace. What are you going to do until then? I'm going to keep knocking on doors, telling people about Christ. I'm going to keep warning people to flee the wrath to come. Going to continue to tell Christians, as I sat down with several on Sunday, there's hardly a Sunday that goes by that somebody doesn't say, "Pastor, I've got cancer. Pastor, I've got a medical test. Pastor, I've got this going on. Pastor, will you pray for me?" And we pray. And I tell them, don't focus on the cancer. Focus on the Savior. You let the doctors worry about the medical stuff. And you focus on letting your light so shine before men that they see Jesus. See Jesus in you. You go to church, you got cancer, why would you do that? God gave you cancer and you still go to instant worship? The world doesn't understand your love for Him. But there's coming a day when there's no night, no need of rest. Monday we took the bike trip to Cumberland, which is that way. We got back about 7 p.m. And I got in the yellow bus to drive that down to give that to Suffolk Bible Baptist Church. And I sat on 95 southbound at the Occoquan on 95. I sat there for an hour. Nobody was moving. Well, I should take that back. The Maryland drivers were driving up the shoulder. I don't know. They were Maryland drivers. There are a lot of people going up the shoulder, but not going anywhere. Say, what time? Merrick said, seriously, you're going to go biking all day and then you're going to drive a bus down to Tidewater? I can't remember what term you used, but it wasn't positive. I got down there about 12:15 in the morning. And where were you after that? I was officially tired. I was officially tired. But there's no night here in heaven. Why? Because you have no need of rest. No need. And that be it. Just think about how much you get done. No night. Gates never shut. No need of rest. Figure we spend a third of our life sleeping. What do you see happening today? See Hamas. There's some kind of peace treaty going on in Israel right now, right? What is the first thing Hamas, the warring factions are killing each other. And today, as I understand it was today, Hamas has resumed public executions. I'll just say, there's no peace in the Middle East. And there will not be peace in the Middle East until the end of the tribulation period and the Prince of Peace comes and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, taking us into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Where after that, that's still yet to come. Be not weary in well-doing. Just stay at it. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us not just to focus on the plan you have for us, but to warn others to flee that wrath that is certainly to come. Well, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you for all eternity in the light of the glory of the Son of our God. Well, thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.